Service is over. Amen. Not too many loud amens yet. I was thinking this week about holiness. This whole idea of not settling. And, I learned something in the construction business. Now, I'm not a construction guy, but I helped build our garage a little bit. And I thought, if you're a couple inches off here and there, good enough. What I don't realize, or didn't realize, and realize a lot more now, is a couple inches here could be a couple feet by the time you get to the other end of something. Even in the squaring off of the building, inch and a quarter. No. It's got to be really square. Because if it's not really square, everything you build on top of that gets all messed up. And so you gotta make sure you do it right from the beginning. And so that whole idea of good enough, sometimes it works for some things, Sometimes it doesn't work very well for other things. And I wanted to talk about that this morning, because sometimes I think you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we settle for just that's good enough. You know, think about this. If I was going to climb up on a tower where someone just said it was built good enough, and then I get up on top of that tower and they tie a bungee cord to that tower that might or might not be knotted very well, and then they put a harness on you or me that has been patched together, do you think you want to jump off that tower because it's good enough? I wouldn't. In fact, I'll tell you what, if I was on the tower and the bungee cord was correct and so was the harness, I sure wouldn't jump off that tower. Some of you might be daring enough, but I look it down and I think, okay, no, I'd just rather trust the Lord with all the other things in my life, but I don't want to trust Him with this bungee cord hanging down off the tower, because God's not the one who made the bungee cord, He's not the one who made the harness, and I'm not going to even go off that tower. So, anyway, I'm telling you. We live in a world so many times when people are just saying it's good enough. You know, in God's Word in Matthew 6:24, it says, I can serve both God and mammon, God and money, or God and man, or anything else alongside of God. But you can't. You can't serve both. You can't serve two masters, and sometimes we just want to settle for something in between. It's that idea of sitting on the fence. You know, it's okay to sit on the fence, but eventually there's going to a wind that's going to blow you one way or the other. You can't always sit on a fence. And which is the wind that we listen to? The wind of those in culture that say, just do this, or the Word of God that says we should do this. You see, settling just good enough is not really what you and I ought to be about as Christians. Tom reminded us this morning that we're all on the journey and none of us have arrived. Anyone here arrived yet? You got it all together? All your ducks in a row? I haven't. I got a long ways to go. And I thank God that His grace is sufficient to take care of all of my lapses, to take care of all of the messes in my life. That's why we as the Church of Jesus Christ welcome anyone to come into the church to join in the journey. But what I want to remind us of this morning is that as we join in the journey together, all of us ought to strive for the perfect standard and not settle for anything less. We oftentimes tell people, you believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe, and like whatever. You know, I find less and less, even in the Church of Jesus Christ today, because it's not a popular thing to do, less and less talking about sin and holiness. We just kind of condone whatever, adapt and adjust on the fly. And I think I'm guilty. I think many of us are guilty of just settling instead of striving towards perfection. Let me give you an example that I read about, and I just shook my head and I can't believe that I read what I read. This whole idea of you give an inch and they take a mile. I don't understand this. It breaks my heart. But in California and New York, they now have a live birth abortion bill up to 28 days after birth. Folks, I don't care where a person might be when it comes to pro-choice or pro-life, but you get to a point where isn't there some line somewhere? That line is so, so far out there right now. You see what happens? What happens is when we buy into what culture has to say, it takes us down a path that is not holy. It takes us down a path that doesn't honor God. We start to see that in some of what we're hearing today. And it breaks my heart. There's a slippery slope because we settle. And I believe as believers in Jesus Christ, even though we might be struggling with the very thing that God says, you know, I have a standard here and you're not meeting that standard, I still need to point to that standard and say, God, that is your perfect standard, and I want to walk towards that, even if I'm not there yet. There are many in the world today, even in the church today, that question the Bible's authority. There are some that call it a book, a guidebook, along with many other books. And I'm thinking, boy, if that's what we believe, we are in trouble as the Church of Jesus Christ. There are many who say that your morality is personal and relative. But I say to you this morning, God's Word tells us what morality is, and in God's Word is absolute. Holy Word. And I may not meet the mark. I know I don't meet the mark. But God's Word is God's Word, and we need to hold it up and not settle for anything less than that. Again, as I remind you and me, that doesn't mean that you and I are holy. We'll never meet that standard of being perfectly holy. None of us will ever meet that standard. Thank God that Jesus filled in the gap. I've had colleagues in ministry that tell me it's only parts of God's Word that are inspired and others aren't. That's settling. Because you know what I can do? The parts I disagree with, I can tell you those aren't inspired by God. The parts that agree with what I want to agree with, those parts are inspired by God. You see what happens? It's the slippery slope. And I'm asking us this morning as the Church of Jesus Christ not to settle. Not to settle. To strive for perfection. Strive for holiness. Do what God wants us to do, because God is not changing with the times, as some people may think. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. That's what He tells us. Many in the world today, and even the church today, want culture to determine our understanding of God's Word. No, God's Word speaks to culture. It's the opposite. We don't let culture tell us what God's Word says. God's Word tells culture what God's Word is. And we have to hold up that holy standard, doing it with compassion and love, but nonetheless, we have the holy standard that we have to lift up. If we don't, we don't have anything. All we have is a country club. Isaiah in the text this morning that was read, the northern kingdom had experienced exile. They knew what it felt like to feel like, what's God doing? What's going on here? Is our trust in a God who doesn't know what He's doing or is impotent? That's what they're probably thinking, you know? Or will He do what He says? He will do what He says. If you follow the story, you know that God always does what He says. We can trust Him completely. You may not always be able to trust me. I may not always come through every time I say something, but you can always trust God. He may not have the answer you want, but you can always trust God. Always, 100% of the time, trust God. He says in this text in Isaiah, for those who would trust Him, that some good things are coming. It doesn't mean that good things have arrived. Sometimes life still stinks, sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes you still have to go through some pretty crappy stuff. Sometimes you still have to wander through the morass and the mud and the pit and all that sort of thing. But what He's trying to tell them and what He's trying to tell us is, good things are coming if you'll just trust Me, because I am a holy God and what I say is true. Trust Him. Follow Him. He says He would save those who would trust Him and judge those who would not. It opens up a whole new world. Because you see what He said in that text in Isaiah. He says, the blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the lame are going to leap, and the dumb are going to speak. I don't think He's always necessarily just talking about physically. We're blind sometimes to the truth. He says, if you'll just trust Me, you'll see. Sometimes we're deaf to what the truth is, but we're going to hear because we trust in the One who is holy and righteous, and the One who gave us God's Word that is truth, God-inspired. And the lame are going to move when you feel like you can't do anything and you are stifled. The lame will leap. It's like we can move because God has moved. God has done His work. God is at work. He always has been, always will be. And when we have no voice, He gives us voice. And you know what He gives that voice to do? To tell others there is a God. There is a God who is holy and just. There is a God who gave us His Word. There is a God who says, even though you are not holy and just and me, I want to redeem you because you're worthy of redemption. Isn't that cool to think, folks? He wants to redeem us because He considers us worthy of redemption. And there's some of you here this morning who probably think that you're a piece of stuff. Can't say it in church. You shouldn't say it anyway. But you think that way, and it's like, no, God says, uh-uh. Like I told you before, He makes fertilizer out of manure. Right? I was a farmer. When you spread that stuff around, it's amazing what it does. When it's used for the right purposes. He said He brings streams in the desert. And boy, sometimes you feel like you're a desert, don't you? But He says He will bring streams in the desert. You know, it may not be a stream right now. It might be the desert right now. But you need to trust the God who is holy and just and righteous and all those things. He will, if you trust Him. That's the point. If you trust in Him, He will. And He says in the late part of that text, He says, this is all found in the way of holiness. Did you not catch that when that was shared earlier? And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. See, that's the key, folks. Don't settle. Don't settle. We should not settle. We should not renege what the Bible says so that we can embrace whatever it is that culture says. We love the world out there. And even though there's a lot of messed up people out there, just like there's all of us messed up people in here, they need to know there's a God who is holy. Amen. And there are people that are striving to move in that direction of holiness. And for those who come in from outside and sit in the pews here and look and say, well, I know so-and-so in the church. You know what they did last week? I know. You know what your response to them is? Yeah, isn't that wonderful? They're coming into this building to get some help. They're coming into this place to strive to find what it is God wants for them, so that they can become more holy. And if you and I as the church don't hold that up, they don't know what it is they're looking for, right? So we need to strive for holiness. I got a long ways to go, but I want to strive for holiness. The Romans text talks about, are you living under law or are you living under grace? You know, when you're living under the law, it's a mess, isn't it? Because when you live under the law always points out to the fact that you are not there. You know what? In some way, shape, or form, we break the commandments. Jesus reminded us it's not just what you do, it's what you think, too. Because there are some who walk around self-righteously thinking, boy, I'm living such a wonderful life, aren't I? I'm a very holy and righteous person. But yet they're thick and bad about their neighbor. Crap. We're under grace. What's grace do? Grace gives us room for improvement. That's what grace really does, isn't it? When we live under grace, it's saying, okay, look, you're a project. And you're not there. But I'll walk you along this journey and bring you closer to where you need to be. That's what grace does. Law doesn't do that. Law says, right, wrong, you're wrong, you're in trouble. Grace says, yeah, you may be wrong, but I love you, and I want to move you to a place that honors me. I want to move you to a place that is more holy. That's what I want to do with you. And that's what God does for us when it says in that text, that we are under grace. We don't misuse grace, as it says there. Do we keep on sinning? Hey, I'm under grace. Hot diggity dog. I'm going to go do the things I want to do, and then I'm going to say, God, forgive me for the things I did today. And then I get up the next morning and say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do again. God, forgive me for what I did today. Is that really repenting? What's the word repent mean? To turn away. To move in the other direction. You see, that's cheap. It cheapens grace when we do that. We are under grace. Don't use it as an excuse to water down or dumb down the moral law that God has given us from the beginning. But it says in this text, we either are a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. We don't like that word slave, do we? I don't like the word slave. But you're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. Being a slave to righteousness is compelled by love and grace and mercy, isn't it? It's a whole different kind of scenario than being a slave to sin. What it means is that we're not there yet. But being a slave to righteousness ultimately leads to holiness. Chapter 6, verse 19. Folks, I ask you this morning, and me, don't settle. Pursue holiness. Because that's what God wants us to do. Let's pray. We confess to you, God, right now, this very moment, that we are not there. We confess to you right now that oftentimes we want to settle. It is easier to settle than it is to fight. It's easier to settle than to pursue something that's hard to do, impossible to do without you. God, help us in this life to pursue you. Because when we pursue you, we are pursuing holiness. Help us as we pursue you to seek the guidance of the truth. The God-breathed Word of God that we have. Help us not to settle. The world out there needs to know that there is a God. The world out there needs to know that there are human responsibilities we have. The world needs to know that you are holy and just and loving and merciful and grace-filled. But it's a confusing thing when we just settle. It's a powerful thing when we pursue you. Because in that pursuit, we realize we're not there. But you covered that. And for that, we give thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn and